Join me in a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you came, gave yourself, starting with your birth, Lord, and then your life after that, and culminating in your sacrifice for us, your shed blood, your body that you gave for our salvation. You made the payment for us that we could not pay. Yes, the song is true. We owed a debt we could not pay, and you paid that debt that you did not owe. And so, Lord, we give you praise and glory, and that's why we celebrate your coming, and we also celebrate at the time of your sacrifice, because it's all about you. Life in this world should be all about you. And Lord, we know we're pressed in upon by in all directions from what's out there. So, Lord, we ask you, by your Holy Spirit, to help us stay focused on you, to get our minds on you, and live our life in a way that shows that we trust you and that we give you the glory for the love and the grace that you brought to us. Lord, be with those who can't be here today because they're suffering. Lord, lift them up. Let them know that you're there. The Holy Spirit is with them. If they believe in you, Lord, the Holy Spirit is there. And he can encourage them. And we ask you to do that, Lord. Be with all of us through this season to get a true feeling of the love that we need to be sharing with one another. We talked about it in the Bible study this morning about who is our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? And we determined that just about everybody we meet is a neighbor because they need to hear about Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us. Give us that Holy Spirit power to open our mouths and testify of the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, because you're the only one that deserves it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you. Now, for today's news, please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. That's where the news report will begin. You know that God calls people for his use. You know that, right? He doesn't just speak and, okay, that's the way it is. Now, he could do that, couldn't he? But he doesn't want to leave us out. We've made a commitment to him, and he wants us to feel that commitment and be a part of his world. So he calls people for his use to fulfill what? His eternal will. Have you ever thought about it that way? You've been called to help God fulfill his eternal will. Wow, what a privilege, huh? To be working with the Lord. Now, throughout the scripture, we see that God called various people for a specific mission or ministry. Abraham, Moses, David, John the Baptist, the apostles, just to mention a few, and you can go through the scripture and they're almost on every page. So he uses people for his purpose, doesn't he? Possibly God's singular most important call, because that's what we're talking about, the call of God. His most important call may have been to a teenage girl of Hebrew Jewish descent. He called her to become the portal into God's physical creation through which he would bring his Savior to reconcile us with him, to make us worthy of his presence. Amen. Through her, he would physically enter the world he had created. He's coming into the world. And he did come, didn't he? God recorded his call to Mary. That's the young girl he called upon. And he recorded that call in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1. The call to Mary, who would be the mother of Jesus. Now we're going to go down to verse 26. That's where we're going to start. Luke 1:26. And I'm going to jump in a couple of words into that verse. So so don't let me throw you off. In the sixth month, that's where I'm starting. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled. She was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. I don't think she'd ever been greeted by an angel before. And so she didn't know how to take this. An angel greeting me? What did I do to deserve that? Could have been some of her thoughts that she was having. Verse 30 says, Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son." A son. "And shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there'll be no end." What does that mean? It'll be eternal. Eternal. No end. Now let's dig in a little more closely here. It says that after 6 months, well, 6 months after what? After the conception of Elizabeth. Yes, she had conceived a son herself, John the Baptist, who would be a cousin of Jesus, conceived him. And the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary, who was already betrothed. She was engaged to Joseph. Was Mary frightened? I don't know that she was actually frightened, but she didn't seem to be frightened, but she seemed calm enough for the moment. She was calm enough to ask questions. You know, when you're going to ask a question, you've got to think a little bit. What do I want to ask? Come on, give me something to ask, because I got to get clarification here. Yes, she was probably troubled, meaning she was just a bit confused, not really understanding the situation. Just think, how would you react if what you thought was an angel appeared in front of you and started talking to you and maybe asking you to do some things? That'd be really different, wouldn't it? Really different. So she was trying to get a grip on the situation and get the meaning of the message. As Gabriel speaks, she's pondering his words, trying as best she can to sort out what's going on. And seems she was more taken aback than frightened. She just didn't know how to process it so well in her mind. Yet she was calm enough to question him. And what did she ask him? "How can this be? How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Now listen, she processed the fact that he said, "You're going to have a child." And she's thinking, "That's not possible. I haven't lain with a man. So that's not, you know, how can that be?" That's confusing enough in itself, isn't it? The angel then gives her a summary of God's plan from that point continuing into eternity. Do you see it in there? Here it is. Here's what he's going to tell her. He reveals God's call to her. She will be used as God's portal to physically enter His created world. God's coming to earth. How's He going to do that? He's going to come through a human being. Because it's been prophesied that that's how He will come, as a human being. Not as deity, not as God Almighty, not like a bright and shining star blasting into the atmosphere. He's going to come like everybody else came. He's going to come through a mother. She will be used as the portal. They will name this child Jesus. That's what the angel told them to do. He's going to be named Jesus. Name Him that. Which means the Lord is salvation. You're going to have a child, and this child is going to be the salvation that everybody's looking for. Now, she was a Hebrew. She was a Jew. She'd been hearing this all of her life, that the Redeemer was coming, the Messiah is coming. They didn't really know how He was going to come. You know, the Hebrew language is pictographs. They're picture symbols. That's how they form their words. The symbol for the Redeemer was an open window. Nothing, no image in it, just an open window. Because they didn't know how that was going to happen. They didn't know what He was going to look like. And so the best thing they could do is just, hey, we're looking for this Redeemer. He's coming. Here's the open window. He can come on down. We're ready. But they didn't know who He was or how He was going to get there. But God sends an angel to tell Mary this is how it's going to happen. And His name will be Jesus, because He is going to save His people. Mary doesn't realize that God's holy, divine, and final act of forgiveness will come into the world through her. God's final act of forgiveness came through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no other coming. There's no other way to salvation. You must trust what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross at Calvary. No other way is provided. In fact, Scripture says He is the way, the truth, and the way. The way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way coming. So we can very securely go out into the world and testify of that fact. If you're looking to find God, you need to be looking for Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No one else is coming. God's not sending another Savior. He's not even sending another prophet. You know, there's people out there that call themselves prophets. They're not really prophets. We already have God's Word. It's been given to us. The prophets have come and given us everything we need. We have God's Word right here. We try not to add to it. We get in trouble when we add to it, don't we? And we try not to take away from it. We tell the truth about God's Word and what it says. Why do we do that? Well, for one thing, God wants it that way, right? But secondly, that's what people need. They need the truth about God. They need the truth about Jesus Christ. Excuse me, they need the truth about how to have that relationship with Him that's going to save their soul. Amen? Amen? God is coming into the world through her, through Mary. By humbling herself. He can't come if she doesn't humble herself. He'll have to find another way. Another young lady. But she humbles herself and accepts God's call. Yes, she's being called by God to do something that's going to benefit everybody in the whole world. Everybody that ever was and everybody that ever will be are going to benefit by this act. And she's going to be part of it. God is singled her out and said, I'm going to use you. I want you to be the way my son comes into the world. Amen?
Amen.
She accepts God's call. Oh, she asked some questions. She wanted to know. Wouldn't we have questions under those circumstances? Of course we would. And so she asked them, and she got the answers that she needed. And finally she says this, complete humbleness. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I accept it. I accept the call. I will do it. Let me be the one according to what you say. And then they proceeded on from there, didn't they? Well, that took care of the mother side. What about the father side? Oh, we know that the Holy Spirit came upon her and that God is really the father side, isn't he? He made it happen. But that's not going to satisfy people back home in the village. They're going to have a hard time with that. They like to see a physical person as a father figure, right? And they've been going to the temple. They've been hearing the teaching. They know that he's coming. They just don't know exactly how. And now they're going to have to accept the fact that he came through the natural birth process like everybody does. Well, if that happened, then who's the father? Can't be a natural man, because he would not be born without sin then, would he? So what about the stepfather, Joseph? What about his call? What about his call to God's service? We find this account in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And we're going to begin at verse 18. Matthew 1:18. Scripture says this. After this, after his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. That means privately. I'm not going to make an example out of her. Not going to drag her into the town square and tell everybody to pick up a rock and let's take care of business here. He doesn't do that. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. He's of God. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Amen. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. He did what he was commanded to do. You're going to be in charge of the watch care over this family. Take it seriously, because God Almighty's involved in this. He's given you a mission. He's issued you a call. And Joseph is going to accept it. He woke up and he did it. He did what he needed to do as he was called. Joseph's involvement, oh yes, Joseph's involvement, for better or worse, because he's engaged to be married, and in their day and time, that was just as good as being married. He just hadn't had the ceremony yet, right? The engagement is the promise. The wedding is the fulfillment of the promise. But it's as good as done. Joseph and Mary were betrothed. They were engaged. They begin preparing for the wedding. Joseph is tasked with getting the home ready. And so he's busy doing that. Mary is busy getting things ready to be in the home, to be the homemaker. They begin preparing. And hold it, there's a problem. Mary is found with child. Can that be in the plan? It's God's plan. So it must be in the plan. But Mary trusts God and she tells Joseph. Where in the scripture does it say she told Joseph? I don't know that it's in there. But how did Joseph find out? Well, he was told by an angel, wasn't he? And so now he's got to believe it because it's happening. Mary is proving her trust in God. She goes to Joseph and she confesses it to him. This is what's happening. So he can trust her now. But, oh no, disaster. That was before the dream. Joseph hasn't had the dream yet. He's got to deal with this on his own human level. And what does he decide? Before the dream, Joseph decides he's going to divorce Mary. Yes, even though they hadn't had the ceremony yet, the engagement was true, and he would have to come up with a divorce. And he was going to do this privately. He didn't want to have her put to death. So that's what he's thinking he's going to do. Joseph decides to divorce her. Then we, like Joseph, see God in this. Joseph has a dream, an angel dream. Then the angel confirms all that Mary has told him. She had to tell him he was going to put her to death. But the angel confirms she's telling you the truth. And God is in this. Joseph then trusts God and weds Mary just as he's supposed to do. Let's go on with the plan. I think God will make it turn out pretty good. How about that? So, they have to get busy because the clock's ticking, isn't it? They have to push up the plans for the wedding because the wedding is going to happen and then the child is going to come and people can do the math. And so we want this to be on the up and up. So let's get going with this. They marry. The Christ child, Jesus, is born. Not in Nazareth, though. He's born in Bethlehem. And they don't settle down in Bethlehem for a short while. But then they end up going to Egypt. And then after that, they come back and settle down in Nazareth. So they've had a kind of a long journey there, haven't they? They marry, the Christ child is born, and eventually they settle back in Nazareth. All is good, right? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Hold it, hold it. That's not the end of the story. You know, we can sing it like it's the end of the story, but it's not. Jesus has a life to live. He has a mission to fulfill. And so he's getting ready to do that. He is learning obedience through his earthly father, and he is learning to do what he's called to do. So he is being prepared for that life of service to the Lord. As you know, our Lord Jesus went on to a life of service and obedience to God. And he proved it in that final act of sacrifice on Calvary's hill. Obedient even to his death on the cross. That's true obedience, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'll give it all up for God. I'll give it all up. All so people would be saved from the sin that condemned them. He did that for all of us. He did that for all of us. But we can never forget, he also did it for the glory of his Father, the glory of God. He had a strong reason to do it. He wanted to please his Father. And so he fulfilled the mission, gave himself so that all of us who are condemned to death now are free to live a life for him. Not just here, but through all eternity. Mary was faithful. Joseph was faithful. God was faithful. All those prophecies were fulfilled. He could have pulled the plug at any time. He didn't do it. He's a God of his word. He honors our faith. They were all faithful. So how about us? How about us? Will we be faithful? Will we honor what Jesus did for us, coming and giving his life to spread the good news? Because that's what we're to do, spread the good news. What's the story of your new birth? You had a new birth. What's the story? You answered God's call, just like all those in the scriptures answered God's call. You answered the call to be saved. Have you gone on to answer the call to faith and obedience, doing what God is asking you to do? Have you stopped lately and really thought about what God is asking you to do? Everybody has to do that. We talked about that this morning in Bible study. It's called self-examination. Why am I really here? What is it God wants me to do? Well, you can do a lot of other things that you normally do, but there's something God has for you to do. Have you gone on to obey and serve that call of the Lord? Like Jesus, we have a call to love others, a desire to serve and follow our Lord in service. It's in your heart. It's in there. There's a God spot in there that only He fits, right? The weekly communion reminds us of who we are. We were lost, dead sinners, and Jesus bought us back. He paid the price. The story of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ should also remind us of our faith and service that we should be rendering to the Lord. It's really not our life anymore, is it? We got in that baptismal and gave ourselves up to the Lord's will. We said, we'll do it for you, Lord. You tell us, we'll do it. We have been called by God to exemplify the good news of Jesus Christ. Of course, they won't know what you're talking about. You'll have to explain it to them. The good news, I didn't even know there was any bad news. Yeah, I'll tell you about that too. But first of all, just know that Jesus loves you, gave himself for you, and has bought back your life so you can be with him for eternity. Amen?
Amen.
The good news of Jesus Christ, answering his call and sharing his love. The account of the birth of Christ is an account of God calling and using people. He calls and uses people. He's still doing that today. He's still calling and using people. Oh, he doesn't need a Savior now. That job's been taken care of. But what he needs are people, believers, to go out and share that good news. Share the good news. using people for His glory and loving and saving humanity. It's a big job. One person is not going to cut it. We all are needed to fulfill the task. He's encouraging us to humble ourselves and pick up the task and do it. The Lord wants to use you to give the good news. Here's the challenge. You talk to Him about it and see what He has you to do. He's got something. You find out. That's the challenge that I'm giving you for this Christmas season this year. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we know that You love us because You gave Your Son, Jesus Christ, Your only begotten Son, to redeem us back from our sin. Lord, help us. Help us to have that desire to realize that we can serve You, that You have called us, and that we need to answer that call the way You have for us to answer it. It might be slightly different from person to person, but it's definitely about giving the good news and sharing Jesus Christ. There are many ways to do that, Lord. We know that. We're just asking You to show us which way You want us to use. Show us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.